Good morning. Thanks for coming today. It's good to be back with you. It's been a week. I'll tell you, it's been a week. My intention was to go on a vacation for 3 days and go down on the way and get some medicine for Ching in Kentucky. We did that. Got to go to Knoxville. And I got to worship at a church I've always wanted to visit, a Southland Christian Church. Probably never heard of that before. In Lexington, Kentucky. The great Wayne Smith. Ever heard of him? Wayne Smith? One of my favorite preachers. He could laugh harder than anybody. And he'd start laughing before he ever told a joke, which is really funny. But pull him up on your YouTube. He was a great preacher. He's gone to be with the Lord. But I got to worship there. I had no intention of getting COVID at Lexington, Kentucky, since I'm a UK Wildcat fan. But I got it. I'm feeling good today, though. And thanks to prednisone and whatever else I was taking, it works. So I feel good today. Ching is in Indianapolis with her family. So that's where she's at. Please be in prayer for her. This week she goes for a PET scan, so we'll know where we're at with her on a PET scan. So please be in prayer for her. Open your Bibles to John chapter 11. I want to talk to you about a Christian's perspective concerning pain. How many of you have had a bad week? Am I the only one? Jim and I have had a bad week. Anybody else had a bad week? Tim's had a bad week. We won't go there. High school's had a bad week. We won't go there. I've kind of had a bad week. Matter of fact, I've kind of had a bad month. As a matter of fact, 2022's been kind of a bad year, rough year for my family and I. But I want you to know, I truly believe from the bottom of my heart that God can use our pain. Can I get an amen? God can use our pain. And no matter what's going on in your life today or what's been going on this year, I believe that God can use our pain for something good. So before we get into our text, see if you can get these cliches. You can't teach an old dog new math. If you lie down with dogs, you'll get up with fleas. No, you'll stink in the morning. An idle mind is what? The best way to relax. A penny saved is not too much anymore. And if at first you don't succeed, get new batteries. Well, so far you're not doing very good on these new cliches. Maybe you'll get this one. No pain. All right, you got it. I believe that is one cliche that's true. Because in the midst of your pain, I believe there can be some good that comes out of it. No pain, no gain. I think you believe that. If you've ever had any heartaches, struggles, disappointments, losses, or headaches or heartaches, you know that no pain, no gain. And I'm convinced that different people handle pain differently. I struggle with it some. Anyone else? I mean, when I get up in the morning, I don't say, God, I appreciate that hamstring pulling. I appreciate that. And Lord, my back hurts. How many of you do that? Well, Paul kind of did. He kind of gloated in his pain, if you will. And I've been around people that I know they're hurting. I can see it from their facial expressions. They always have a smile on their face. You know, you ever met anybody like that? They always have a smile on their face, and it seems like they're gloating. They're successful in their pain. I read from Job out of the Old Testament. He handled pain and heartache much differently than I would. Matter of fact, I got to be honest with you, I probably would have thrown in the towel. Anyone else? Going through everything that Job went through, he lost his family, he lost his farm, he lost everything he had except one nagging wife. You've heard me talk about that before. He lost everything, and yet he said, "The Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away." I'm not so sure I'd say that. I'd probably say, "Lord, why? Why me, Lord? I mean, I go to church all the time. I try to do what you tell me to do. Why me, Lord? Why does this have to happen to me?" But Job didn't say that. Paul was not only given a thorn in his flesh, but he was beaten several times. He's left for shipwreck several times. Yet he could be thankful, even in the midst of his pain. The Bible teaches us that pain can be a tool of God, and it can be used for good purpose if we'll allow it to be. In John chapter 11, we run into an unfortunate situation where Lazarus is sick, and not only is he sick, what happens? He dies. And Jesus could have come to his rescue while he was alive, but Jesus holds out like a testing of their faith, and he doesn't come until after Lazarus has died. Let's read about it, down to 15. Now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and his sister, and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is sick." When he heard this, Jesus said, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Jesus loved Martha and her sister and also Lazarus. Now in verse 6, how many of your Bibles have the word yet? Circle that. Yet, when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was for two more days. He said to his disciples, "Let's go back to Judea. "But Rabbi," they said, "a short while ago the Jews tried to stone you, and yet you want to go back there?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? A man who walks by day will not stumble, for he sees by this world's light. It is when he walks by night that he stumbles, for he has no light." After he had said this, he went on to tell them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going in there to wake him up." His disciples replied, "Lord, if he sleeps, he will get better." Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So then he told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead, and for your sake I'm glad I was not there, so that you may believe, but let's go to him." Let's stop right there. From this passage, I want you to reflect on the word yet. Because I believe yet is one of the toughest words in the English vocabulary, because sometimes God says yes, and sometimes God says no, and sometimes God says not yet. I don't have trouble when God says yes. Sometimes I don't have trouble when God says no. Sometimes I really have trouble when he says not yet. Yesterday I prayed with Ching before she went to visit her family in Indy, and I prayed, "Lord, please be with Ching. Give her and Zachary a safe trip up there. And Lord, please let her get some much needed rest. And Lord, we know everything is in your timing. But Lord, if you would you heal her body sooner than what we expect? And let these treatments work and help her to withstand them." I thought that was a good prayer, amen? That's what I prayed. But it's hard when you watch your loved ones go through heartache and pain on a daily basis, and you can't help but ask, "Lord, why? Lord, why?" And sometimes God says yes, and sometimes God says no, and sometimes God says not yet. And then I'm reminded of Jesus' words in Matthew 5:45. Write it down if you will. "For he makes the sun to rise on the evil and the good, and he sends rain on the just and the unjust." If you're a Christian here this morning, you're going to have the same sickness, the same heartache to a certain degree that non-Christians do. And you're going to experience hurt. You're going to experience heartache. You're going to experience loss of loved ones just like non-Christians do. But here's the difference. We have hope after the fact. We have hope of eternal life. And while our loved ones may go on before us and may our loved ones suffer and hurt and have pain, I want you to know there is hope at the end of the road. Amen? God is going to make all things right. The Bible says they're going to be new. They're going to be beautiful someday. The Bible promises that there'll be no more heartache, no more pain, no more loss, no more suffering. It says he'll wipe every tear from our eyes. There'll be no more crying in heaven. Praise God, hallelujah. Praise God, hallelujah. In the meantime, what do we do with the pain, the heartache, the loss, and the disappointments of life that bring glory to God in the midst of our pain? Well, I'm glad you asked. Number one, follow along in your outline, if you will. First, God can use our pain to goad us. G-O-A-D. There's another word for that, and the word is probe. P-R-O-B-E. Sometimes God uses our pain to get our attention. He wants us to rethink our path, the path that we're on. But have you noticed that some people do not like change? How many of you do not like change? I don't like change. Newborn babies, they like change. But I don't like change. I wear the same old clothes. I drive the same old truck. Don't laugh. Still runs. And I find myself doing the same old thing on a daily basis. And when someone interrupts my routine, I get upset. Anyone else? Some of you drink that nasty coffee in the morning. I can't stand it. You think it's something delicious. I hate it. I absolutely hate coffee. But that's what you do. But we get into this habit of not changing. But sometimes God says, hey, I want you to change. I want you to change the path that you've been trotting. I want you to do something different. And we say, God, we don't like change. We don't want to go there. We don't want to do that. You remember Jonah in the Old Testament? God told him to go where? Go to Nineveh. What'd he say? Okay. And what's no? He said, no way. I'm going to Tarsus. And God said, good luck. And he went on his way to Tarsus, and he got swallowed up by, we think it was a whale. Bible don't say that. It was a big fish. Bigger than some of the fish you guys catch, because I've seen the fish you catch, and no human being could go in the mouth of the fish that you catch. But this is a big fish, and he swallowed him up. And I want you to know something. When you're in the midst of fish guts, you tend to think differently about your life. And God gets your attention. It may not be a big fish. It may be an illness, a sickness. It may be the loss of a loved one. It may be a heartache, a pain in your life. And God might be trying to get your attention. Romans 13:11, Paul says, understanding the present time, the hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber, because salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. And then he goes on to say in 2 Corinthians 4:16-18, therefore we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day, for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary and what is unseen is eternal. And if you're here this morning and you're bogged down with your pain or your problems of life, then you need to refocus your attention. Not on what is seen, your problems, your hurt, your pain, your heartache, but what is unseen. What God is planning for us right now in heaven. Jesus said in John 14, I go to prepare a place for you. What is Jesus doing right now? He's preparing a place for us in heaven. That doesn't mean we're not going to have any pain or heartache, but what it does mean is we got something great waiting for us. Amen? Something great. Sometimes we just need to be goaded. Secondly, God can use our pain to guide us. If you're a teacher, when you give your students a test, if you give them a simple old test where they don't have to study, where they don't have to stretch their mind at all, then you are failing as a teacher. Teachers must train and guide and instruct in a manner where a student will learn now instead of learning the hard way later on. I was reading just this week about Chuck Norris, who happens to be my favorite actor. And it said that while he was in high school, he had a test and he just put his name at the top of the paper and turned it in. The teacher gave him an A. That's all he did. I've never got that fortune. Anyone else? I've had to struggle to get an A. But that teacher should have been fired immediately. It doesn't matter how popular or famous you are. You need to be guided in the right direction. If you're a coach, your job is to guide and guard and push your players during practice so that when the game comes around Friday night, it's easy for them. I was talking to Gail, and I won't go into great detail, but she was asking about when I was in sports, and I said, our hardest game was practice. And we would hit full speed ahead during practice, and we were prepared when the game came around, and the games were easy because we were prepared for it. That's what the job of the coach is, to prepare your players so that when Friday night rolls around, you're ready to play. If you're a parent, if you wait till your kid gets in high school or even grade school to guide, guard, and discipline them, let me tell you something, you waited way too long. Amen, parents, grandparents? You need to train them when they're about that big. So where's little Ben at? Is he back there? Hey, Ben, we're watching you, buddy. Ben's training begins when? Right now. He's a pretty good kid, amen? He's a good kid. He's got a good start. In Hebrews 12, 7 through 13, the Hebrew writer says, endure hardships as discipline. God is treating you as children. For what children are not disciplined by their father? If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are not legitimate sons and daughters at all. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respect them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of the spirits and live? Our fathers disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines for our good in order that we may share in His holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. The next time God guides you through your pain, ask this question: what is God trying to teach me in the midst of my pain? That's a tough question. But I do believe from the bottom of my heart that no matter what pain we go through, God is guiding us. He's guiding us. Number three, God can use my pain to gauge me. He can gauge me through my pain. You may not realize this or not, but your pain and how you handle your pain exposes the real you. Can I read that again? You may or may not realize this, but your pain and how you handle pain exposes who the real you are. If you're one of those people that go in a corner and cry and give yourself a pity patty party every day, you're not going to learn anything. You're not going to be gauged by God. You're just going to be a whiner. Can everybody look over the person next to you and say, are you a whiner? All right, that's enough. James 1, verses 2 through 3 says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. So as we get older, and as we get more aches and pains in our body, and maybe even some emotional stress in our mind, as we look at our bodies, and that causes emotional stress, amen? Ask yourself, am I doing better or worse? You may look worse. I'm not going to say anything about that. But you need to feel better because you are being gauged by God in the midst of your pain. My family's going through trials right now. And to be honest with you, I want you to know it's tough. But I'm convinced that prayer and the prayers that you have offered for our family is the thing that is sustaining us. So I appreciate that. I want to brag on my wife this morning. Can I do that? I guess she'll probably watch this later on, so she'll know. When we first found out Ching had cancer, it was devastating. But what was even more devastating was when the doctors tried to put a timetable on her life. If you're a doctor or nurse, don't ever do that. And to her credit, my wife said, doctor, I serve the one true God, the God that can heal my body if He wants to. Because He has the ability to do that. That doctor knew that he ran into some giant faithful person. And he should have kept his mouth shut. Ching was right though. I want you to know, friends, we serve a God that is bigger than any diagnosis. We serve a God that is bigger than any doctor or prognosis. We serve a God that can heal anytime He wants to. At the spoken word, He can heal somebody. At the touch of a hand, He can heal. How many believe that? We have a God that can do that. And I believe that it happens through prayer. But God's going to test you in your time of pain. Isaiah 48:10 says, see, I have refined you. Though not as silver, I have tested you in the furnace of affliction. It is not for my own sake. It is for my own sake that I do this. Oh, that's a tough one. I have refined you, though not as silver. I have tested you in the furnace of affliction. It is for my own sake that I do this. So is God going to allow me to go through pain? Why? It's a test. Does he tempt us? No, God never tempts us. The devil tempts you. And when you're tempted and when you're tried and when you go through your pain, you need to remember something. God goes right there beside you when you go through that pain. I get so tired of hearing people saying, why did God make this happen? God didn't make it happen. The devil did. Let's give credit where credit's due. Everybody said, the devil made me do it. The devil did it. The devil causes your pain. It is God that walks beside you and he puts his arm around. I like what Dave had to say. Hey, scoot over so God can see her during the communion service. I believe that's the way God is all the time. He's right beside us. And yes, we're going to go through heartache. And yes, we're going to have pain. And yes, we're going to have cancer. And yes, there's going to be dying and death. But God goes right beside us all the way if we keep our faith in him. Number four, God can use our pain to guard us. Apostle Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 12, 7 through 10, because of these surpassing great revelations, to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in the flesh. Messenger of who? Satan, to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. I don't think I would have wrote that. But Paul did. Now, what was Paul's thorn in the flesh? You think it was eyesight, but we don't know that for sure. Personally, I think it was something else, because I know a lot of people with bad eyes. Anyone else? And they're faithful. They come to church all the time. I think it was something more that God had Paul deal with than just bad eyes. I'm not sure what it was. But it doesn't matter what it was. Paul says, it doesn't matter. I'm still going to boast, even in my heartache and persecution and pain, I'm still going to boast. Do you do that? When the doctor says, this is your diagnosis, do you do that? Do you boast in your pain and your weakness? I have to be honest with you, I don't do that. But maybe I should. Maybe I should. Someone said to Ching one time, when she asked why me, actually she was talking about herself. She's going through some stuff too. And she said, why not me? Why not me? You know what I thought? Wow, what faith. Why does it have to be someone else? Why can't it just be me? I was taken back by her faith. I'm reminded of Paul's words in 1 Corinthians 10, 13. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear, but when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. Some translations say so that you can stand up underneath of it. Will you highlight that in your Bible? 1 Corinthians 10, 13. Circle it. Write it in the front of your Bible so that when temptations and trials and hardships and pain and persecution come, you can say, 1 Corinthians 10, 13, God is faithful. He will not let me be tempted beyond what I can bear. But when I am tempted, he'll provide a way for me to stand up underneath of it. I don't know about you, but without God's word, I'm not sure I'd make it. Anyone else? And I don't see how people go through life not praying, not reading the Bible, and not going to church, because if it weren't for the Bible, and if it weren't for prayer, and if it weren't for you guys in our corner praying for us, encouraging us, laying your hands on Ching and myself. And she has a friend. She hasn't been here to church, but we're trying to get her here. She comes over every week and gives Ching a massage from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet. And the other day, she even massaged my feet. Now, that is not going to happen again. I don't want anybody massaging my feet. How she talked me into something like that is beyond me. But I want you to know she has friends in her corner, many of you guys, that has allowed her to endure the pain. Isn't that what Christianity is all about? Where we lean on each other and we encourage one another. Go home and read Acts chapter 2 today. And see what those people had in common. They had everything in common. And that's what we need to do. Well, fifth and finally, God can use our pain to grow us. Remember this, our pain is the cost of our personal growth in Christ Jesus. Friends, pain is going to come in your life. It might have come early in your life. It might have come in the middle of your life. It might have come at the end of your life. But I assure you, I promise you, that pain's going to come. If you agree with that, raise your hand. You're all going to experience some type of pain. How you handle that pain is up to you. And here's the deal. This is where the rubber hits the road. You can become better or you can become bitter. It's easy to become bitter. It's easy to let the circumstances and the pain, the persecutions of life, turn you into a bitter person. And I pray that as I get older, I become better instead of bitter, because I've seen a lot of older people, amen, I've seen a lot of older people become bitter when pain and persecutions come their way. Friends, we shouldn't be getting bitter. We ought to be getting better because we're going to the promised land, amen. We ought to change the way we think. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 1, 3 through 8, praise be to God and our Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion, the God of all comfort, who comforts all of us in our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. For just as the sufferings of Christ flow over into our lives, so also through Christ our comfort overflows to others. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in the sufferings, you will also share in our comfort. We don't want you to be uninformed about the hardships that we've suffered. Paul writes this to the church of Corinth. He was going through hard times, and so were they. But when they go through them together, it makes it so much easier. I've done a lot of funerals in my life. I haven't done as many as Mike Knepper. He said he'd done like 150 funerals. But I've done a lot of funerals in life, and I've seen people distraught, standing there, not knowing how to feel, not knowing what to say. And sometimes it doesn't do any good to say anything. Have you noticed that? Just be there. Just be there for them. Send them a card. That we have compassion on those people. And the fact that we were there during their hard time, they remember that. And then when you go through your hard time, guess who shows up? They show up. And you remember that you went to that funeral and they came to the funeral that you're at, and you bring comfort to the people that are hurting. Friends, I want you to know that when you go through hard times, God goes through hard times too. When you go through hard times, fellow Christians go through hard times as well. And when they don't, they're not going through the hard times like the Bible teaches that we should. We should be there for one another in their hardest times, when they're hardest hit. And even though you may not say anything, just be there. Amen? Just be there. Because God doesn't want to harm us, and He doesn't want to see us hurting. That's why He goes beside us. I love what Jeremiah 29:11 says. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Friends, no matter what you're going through today, don't ever forget that God is on your side. I want to close with this morning. I thought it was good. I was reading this the other day. Famous preacher Billy Graham and his wife were out traveling one day, and they came to a road construction site. We know what they're all about, don't we? Well, at this particular construction site, it took over an hour for them to go just a few miles down the road. And at the end of the construction site, it said this: construction complete. Thank you for your patience. Ruth looked over at her husband, Billy Graham, and she said, honey, I want those words written on my tombstone. Construction complete. Thank you for your patience. Folks, pain and heartache is going to come on us. It may come soon, it may come later, but it's inevitable. It's going to come. I want to encourage you today, no matter what you're going through, hang in there, because the best is yet to be. Amen? Let's pray. Father God, we all have pain. We all have heartache and shame, and it might be physical pain, emotional pain, might be financial pain, psychological pain. Lord, we all have pain. We all experience pain differently, and we all take it on the chin differently, Lord. Lord, help us to remember that when we have pain and heartache, that you're not against us. You're for us. When we go through the hardest times of our life, you're right there beside us, cheering us on as we go through our time of pain. Lord, we thank you for the place you have prepared for us. And no matter what Satan can do to us in life, Lord, he can't take away our eternal salvation that comes only through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's in his name we pray. Amen. Stand and